I've been wanting you to read this, the first beginnings of the church there, and from Acts, verse chapter 1 all the way to chapter 4, because we're going to go through that verse by verse. May skip a couple here and there, but we're going to go through most of them. But today I want to look at a couple of verses that Peter gets filled with the Holy Ghost, and then he begins to preach. And he starts preaching about Jesus and the resurrection of the Lord. And there's a number of verses that he uses prophetically from the Old Testament that they were, like, I think this one that we're going to talk about is from the book of Joel. And the other one that we're going to talk about is from the Psalms. And there's even more from various scriptures that he's using from the Old Testament to reveal that what happened in Christ's resurrection was predicted, so to speak. And so there's this one verse I've been asking. Jim Morris shared something with me, and I've been asking her to be ready to share that with all of you. And that's this first verse not the first verse, but first verse I'm going to use. Put that up there. Acts chapter 2, verse 19. This is, again, Peter prophesying using the Old Testament and Joel, in the book of Joel. And it says this: I will show wonders in the heaven. And this is Peter preaching to the church. If you've been reading this, you'd know this already, but we're going to just look at this. And I will show you wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And it says, and the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord. And the next verse is, who shall ever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All right? Now, the interesting thing about this sermon that he's preaching is taken from the Old Testament, prophecies in the Old Testament, and he's making it relative to then, when he's preaching, which is also interesting because it is also relative to that notable day of the Lord, which is relative from that point on that he was preaching until today, and more increasingly so, you understand, because it's moving towards something. And we're going to see another thing that's moving towards something, which I think is very exciting in a minute. Let's look at these other verses that are a little bit later. This is 19 and 20, then we're going to go to 34 and 35. This is another time when Peter is referring to something that is in from the Old Testament, and he's talking about something that was happening right then and there. Being fulfilled. It was fulfilled when Jesus was raised from the dead. As a matter of fact, when anybody talks about eschatology, which is the end times, or the second coming of the Lord, I've heard numerous verses of certain preachers that say, well, no man can tell the time, the day, or the hour. Jesus said that. No man can tell you the day or the hour. And, you know, even Jesus said he didn't even know. And only the Father knows that it's in his hands. And that's good enough for me. Except that it also says to the church that day will not overtake you as a thief in the night. You know, so you will never know the day and the hour, but you'll know the times and the seasons. You see, that's what it says. And so, you know, we can, there's, like I said, I've heard people preaching about things that they thought was going to be needed to be fulfilled before the Lord came back. Back in 1909, they had a big, huge church conference that just included all the churches. In 1909, they were, you know, World War I was, it was just prior to World War I. Might not have been 19 or any of you history buffs, when did World War I start? Huh? 1914, is that right? Well, just prior to that, the signs were looking like, oh, maybe the end of the world, you know? And so the church came together to discuss it, and they said, no, we don't believe that it's going to happen yet because the fig tree hasn't blossomed yet. And the fig tree, they predicted, was Israel becoming a nation. That was impossible when they said that. There were no Jews left in Israel. There wasn't anybody left. They were gone. And they said, no, Israel has to become a nation. And it refers to a verse in Isaiah which talks about, who's ever heard of such a thing? Who's ever seen such a thing? A nation born in a day. And so they were predicting that we don't think that the Lord's coming is imminent because Israel has to be rebirthed first, which was outrageous to predict such a thing. And yet in 1948, it happened. You understand? So I can understand there, when the church says, no, the Lord could come at any time. But there are certain signs we haven't seen yet. We don't believe we've seen. So, one of the signs is every creature is going to hear the gospel before the coming of the Lord. Some of you probably heard that. But the one that I've always maintained is in Hebrews, the first chapter. It says, and this is referring to after Jesus is raised from the dead, where the Father says to Jesus, sit here at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. All right? Now that's one that I think must be fulfilled, because I think when he says sit here until, it means that at that time, I'm sending you back. I'm sending you back to get them. All right? Now, that could happen. God could say that's fulfilled at any time. I don't know what that means. But that involves you and I stepping and crushing Satan's head. Okay? And I think that that must be fulfilled. Personally, it could be fulfilled right now. The Lord, I don't know. He's God. He can say when it's fulfilled. But he says, sit here until I make thy enemies thy footstool. That is a prophecy from the Old Testament. But it's also a prophecy put up 34. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, Lord said unto my Lord, sit here on my right hand. Now, this is the verse of scripture that Hebrews is referring to. And he's talking about how Peter is saying that Jesus was God. God the Father, God, he was God the Son. And the reason that he's proving that Jesus was God, because David, who is chronologically, genetically, Jesus' father, calls him Lord. Why would David call him Lord? And then, not only that, but it says God, the Father, calls him Lord. So he says, the Lord said unto my Lord. God said unto to Jesus, my Lord. Sit there, David said, sit here to my Lord, called him Lord. It says, sit thou on my right hand, next verse, until I make thy foes thy footstool. So here it is, written in the Old Testament, but Peter is quoting it to prove that Jesus was the Messiah, was the Lord. Hello? Everybody follow this so far? This isn't too complicated for you. If it is, read, study the Bible, okay? All right, now, let's go to Luke. Is that what I got first? Luke. I'm going to tie some of this together with the message today. Okay, Luke. Okay, that's not Luke. I know, it takes time. Hallelujah. And it came to pass when he was come nigh, this is Jesus, to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples. And before I go on, I just want to say one thing. I don't know about you, and I don't have an answer to this. Maybe some of you know I don't want to dwell on it very long, but have you ever wondered why Easter changes from year to year? Christmas is always, you know, December 25th, but why does Easter change from year to year? Ear to ear? Not from ear to ear. It goes from this ear to out that ear, but I don't know. I don't know why it changes, but you know, Ed. Okay, everybody catch that? It's something about moons and werewolves and things like that. After the first full moon and the equinox and stuff like that, all right? Now, so you know that it's not the same. I can remember one time, it was in April. As a matter of fact, I think it was in April, if I'm not mistaken. The 10th, I believe it was, maybe the 9th. And the reason I remember, I'm not going to tell you how many years ago, I know exactly how many years ago, because I would get in trouble if I did. Because I remember that it came on April that time, because it was like one day after the birth of my daughter Bethany. Now, where's Amy? Is Amy here? Amy! She's not here. She's not here to see that I'm picking on Bethany. Amy thinks all I ever do is pick on her. But I'm picking on Bethany. And one of the reasons we named Bethany Bethany was because Palm Sunday was coming up. And Palm Sunday is, Bethany is a central place here, because Bethany is about 2 miles from Jerusalem. Bethany is where Lazarus and Martha and Mary lived. Bethany is the place that Jesus loved to be. It's a place he would go to get away from everything and relax and stuff, you know. It was his, those were his closest friends outside of his disciples, and he just loved to be at Bethany. So we named our daughter Bethany, saying that, you know, that's the place. We're claiming that this is a person where the Lord likes to be, you know, likes to. So I just threw that out there. As a matter of fact, it is going from Bethany to Jerusalem that these things that we have here are relative. All right. So it says this: he sent two of his disciples. Next verse. And we're going to try to move on too, because I got saying, "Go ye into the village over against you, and in." The which, at your entering in, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. All right? And if any man ask you, and I'll leave this verse up for just a second. If any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, because the Lord has need of him. Right, so he sends his disciples to go find this colt that's tied up. Other gospels it says the colt with its mother, and it says no man has ever sat before. And I'm drawing something out of this, but I'm not the only one. I've heard other preachers do it. You know, it doesn't make it true, but nevertheless, you know, no man has ever sat before. You know, one of the things happens is if nobody's ever sat before, you know, the first time, they don't always like it, you know. But this one was going to like it, all right? And he's going to go into Jerusalem riding this colt, and there's going to be a great big hoopla. And I believe that there's an illustration here, kind of an analogy of how God wants to use us, all right? And first of all, when he uses this, one of the reasons that the disciples got saved and filled with the Spirit before they got filled with the power of the Spirit in Acts 2 is because God wants to use, when he wants to use you, he wants him to use you. He doesn't want anybody else having used you. So he cleanses you and you're born again and you're fit to be used by God, you see? And God wants to use you. But you see, the thing about it is when God uses you and all the gifts that God has given you to be used by him through you, there may be some accolades. There may be some recognition. There may be somebody saying, oh, you know, when people come up to me and say, I really appreciate your message, or I really appreciate this, or really, I say, thank you very much, you know. But in reality, the truth of the matter is, I know that I'm just the donkey, all right? And if by chance, somehow, I'm carrying the Lord, and there people are getting touched by him, and they're celebrating, it isn't because of the donkey. Hello? I'm just the carrier. I'm just the messenger. Jesus is the message, you see? And can you imagine the donkey carrying Jesus in, and all these people going, Hosanna, Hosanna, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise, you know? And the donkey just probably going, I must be some donkey, you know? I mean, look at all these people. They're going crazy over me, you know? Well, guess what? It isn't you. It's him. And that's what the purpose of the gifts is, to carry him, is to present him, is to bring him. And we're going to see something in a minute. The donkey is bringing Jesus to Jerusalem, all right? And we, the donkey, when we crush Satan's head, will be bringing Jesus to Jerusalem again. Hello. Amen. So no, that's just a side issue. Now let's go on. Okay, next verse. It says, and they that were sent away went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners there said unto them, Why do you loose the colt? And they said, the Lord have need of him. Twice they said of that. I want to tell you something. Some of you may not agree with this, but just as the donkey was used of God, the Lord has need of you. Hello? God doesn't need anyone. That's not exactly true. You know what? At one time, didn't need anybody. Did you know that? At one time, it's like Adam. At one time, when Adam was created, he was 100% like God, you know, in God's likeness and image, created in his own image, you know? Okay? But you know what? There was one thing about Adam that wasn't good, that it wasn't like God, because God had the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but one thing is, Adam needed somebody, okay? God saw that it, first time, you know when he created everything, this is good, this is good, this is good, this is good. He gets to Adam and says, that's not good. First time. He says, it's not good that he should be alone. And so he puts him to sleep, and he pulls out of him his rib, and, you know, close to his heart, and he makes a woman. He says, now the total reflection or the total image of God is both Adam and Eve together, see? But apart, they're only half. Everybody follow that so far? Now, the second Adam and the last Adam was put to sleep on the cross. And God says, it's not good that you should be alone. And so he opens up his side, and blood and water rushes out. And he pulls out Adam's bride, which is the church. And now, Jesus is no longer complete. As a matter of fact, it says in the scriptures, you and I complete him. I don't complete him. You don't complete him. We complete him. The church completes him. All right? Everybody follow that? Okay. And so anyway, he has given us feet to step on Satan's head. And so let's move on. So they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. This is the people, the great multitude. And when he was come nigh, even now into the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a very loud voice for all the mighty works that he had seen, that they had seen, saying, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, "Master," some of the Pharisees says, "Master, rebuke your disciples." And he answered and said unto them, "I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the very stones would immediately cry out." And they are. We are those stones, those living stones. I think you referred to that about four times, if I'm not mistaken, about how we're living stones of praising God. Okay, is there one more verse? Is that it? That's it. Okay, let's go to the one in Matthew then. This is in Matthew 21. This is really cool. Matthew 21, verse 1. Another account. He says, there it is. Okay. "And when they had drew near unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage and to the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples," here's another account, "saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me." It says, "And if any man says unto you, why do you do this? The Lord hath," you say, "the Lord hath need away," and straightway he sent them. He says, "And this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet." So you see, all of that was prophesied in the Old Testament. Okay, next verse, it says, "Tell you the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee," thy king cometh unto thee, "meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass." And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. He says, "And brought the ass and the colt, and put on their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments, and all the multitude began to spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees." I know in my Unger's Bible says they cut down branches, but there were also probably branches all over the place because of a feast that they had would celebrate, would leave these branches on. And you know what the branches were? It's called a holy tree in the tabernacle of Moses, a sacred tree is the palm tree, okay? And it was these palm branches and willow branches that they would lay in front of them, and then they would wave these branches as well, and they would say, and they'd cut down the branches from the leaves and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes went before that followed in crying, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna." So they were waving these lullabs. How do we know they were waving the lullabs? Because that was a tradition at the Feast of Tabernacles for them to do that. And you said, well, how do you know they're doing that because of the Feast of Tabernacles? Because all of these things that they're saying is recorded and used in the celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles. All right? And so they're waving these and they're saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna." And the multitudes went before crying, saying, "Hosanna, Son of David, blessed he that cometh in the name, Hosanna in the highest." Next verse. "And when he was coming to Jerusalem, the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." It says, "And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast all this is where he cast out the money changers and the ones that were trading money and stuff like that. And he says, "And bought and sold in the temple, and overthrew the tables and the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves." Next verse. "And said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them." It says, "And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children in the temple, and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David," you see what it says? "They were sore displeased." like it did said in Luke. They weren't happy about what they were doing. All right? And it says, have you never read, next verse, let's say, and he said unto them, hearest thou what these, do you hear what these people are saying? And Jesus said unto them, hey, yea, have you never read that out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? This is another writing, another fulfill of a prophecy that is from Psalm 8, verse 2. All right? Now, is there another verse after that that we were going to look at, or stop right there? All right. You got ready, Psalm 8? Let's just look at Psalm 8, verse 1 and 2. All right? O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth who has set thy glory. And I might continue after this, okay? So be ready. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth who has set thy glory above the heavens. Have you never, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength. What did Jesus say? Have you never read that out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast what? Perfected praise. Only he says, ordained strength. Why? Because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. You know what it means to still the enemy and the avenger? Shut his mouth. All right? Shut his mouth. And that takes away all of Satan's power. All the devil's power is lies. If you can shut his mouth, you render him. You know what happens when you shut his mouth? You just stepped on his head. All right? You know, let's see the rest of this real quick. Watch this. When I consider thy heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands, and hath put what? All things under his feet. So this is not only a prophecy that is used when Jesus says, have you never read it out of the mouths of babes and sucklings? But this is also referring to when Peter says, all things under his feet. Because God hath put all things under his feet. And what does it mean to be under his feet? Shut his mouth. And how do you shut his mouth? The strength that is ordained through praise. All right. Hallelujah. Now, Jill was talking about some things that, and I got to find out where I wrote this down. All right, good. If you notice when she was talking about the moon and all the blood moons and the other moons, and when there were four of them, and out, some of them come on the day of the Passover and some of them come on the day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Well, see, there were seven major, in between there were 7 years. You know, in the Old Testament, I think the Hebrew word for covenant was bereft, means to cut until blood flows. But in the ancient Hebrew, it was the same word that was used for the word seven. Because, see, God created things in 6 days and rested on the seven because there was a covenant being made by God with the earth. It means, they used to say when they made a covenant with one another, they sevened oneself. Well, there were seven major festivals that the Jews celebrated. These seven festivals was the Feast of Passover. This is fulfilled, nearly all of these scriptures was fulfilled, has been fulfilled so far. The Passover was fulfilled at Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. Unleavened bread was fulfilled at that time. First fruits was fulfilled at that time. That's three. The day of Pentecost was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, which is 50 days after the Passover. And then the day of atonement, because he had made atonement for our sins on the day that he was crucified. And there was two left. One of them is the Feast of Trumpets, and everybody agrees that one will be fulfilled when Jesus returns with the sound of a trumpet, all right? So there's the last one that they say hasn't been fulfilled yet, I disagree with. I say it has been and is being and will be fulfilled. And that's the Feast of Tabernacles. What is the Feast of Tabernacles? Well, the Feast of Tabernacles is where I think they celebrated it in October. And what they did was, is when the children of Israel was in Egypt and they were wandering around in Egypt, God took care of them. He provided everything for them. By the way, I want to give a verse of scripture for your mother to consider standing on, okay? In Psalm 118, I can't think of the number right offhand, but Psalm 118 is very significant because it was used in the Feast of the Tabernacles. There's a verse of scripture that says, I will not die but live to declare the glory of God. Have her stand on that, okay? I will not die but live to declare the glory of God. Well, anyway, the Feast of Tabernacles was to celebrate how God took care of them in the wilderness before they went into the Promised Land. And what they would do at the Feast of Tabernacles is they would build this little lean-to. It's like a half of a tent made with palm branches. And these palm branches would be a shade for them, and they would actually lay underneath this thing for like 7 days. But on the seventh day, the day of the Sabbath, they would go into the temple, and they would bring these lulav. They called lulavs, all right? They're also called this. Let me read to you out of the Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament New Word. This is a handy book to have, by the way. Everybody should have one. If you don't have it in your technology, you need a book. The only thing I know how to master as far as my technology is concerned is my TV remote control. You know, it's all you need anyways. Sorry, I didn't say. I was trying to get my glasses out, but I can't get them. So I'm going to read this the best I can. This is the word Hosanna. Remember they sing in Hosanna, Hosanna? All right. The word Hosanna is only found in the New Testament. And by the way, these festivals, you know, there's two words that are used in the Hebrew in the word festival. One of the words means gather together, as congregate together to celebrate, all right? The other one means to dance. How did you know that? Imagine there was a little dancing there okay. The Hebrew, the word, literal meaning of it is save, we pray. That's what Hosanna. Save, we pray. It says, but the word has seemed to evolve with the church as a word of praise rather than a prayer, though originally it was a cry for help. And it says, the people's cry at the Lord's triumphant entry of Jerusalem. And then it gives the references. And it was taken, the people's cry is taken from Psalm 118. Now the Psalm 113 to Psalm 118 was the psalms that were used in the celebration of the Feast of Tabernacle. All right? And so the people are crying out. Do you know why that they got so upset when the people were crying these things out? And the Pharisee says, shut them up. Well, because they were praising him for one thing. But do you know why the reason for that is? Why? That's right. There were certain things that the people could say. And then they're in the Feast of Tabernacle, because when they came together on that Sabbath day, the people would bring their lulavs. And what I wanted to bring out here before we go on I'm running out of time, so I'll just do this. This is called a lulav, which means a bow of the palm tree, right? It's also called an hosanna, all right? Because they would wave these lulavs, and the people would have a response in the celebration of the festival. And the response was, what they were doing when Jesus came in, especially when they came in and they were singing Hosanna, 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 that wasn't their response. That was the priest's response. And the priest was upset about that. You know, that's my job. And this is what I believe, all right? By the way, one of the reasons I wanted to know, remember Gary Kibblewitz? Gary Kibblewitz is an apostle in the network that we used to be affiliated with. And Gary Kibblewitz is a Jew converted Jew, and he's an apostle in the church now. Beautiful brother in the Lord. And I laid all this out before him, and he says, you know something? I think you got something there, all right? So I just wanted you to know that this isn't just all me. I did get it confirmed by somebody, okay? So this is what I think is happening, all right? There are five festivals that are fulfilled at either Jesus' crucifixion or the day of Pentecost. Then there's two festivals left. The trumpet is when Jesus returns. The other one is the Feast of Tabernacles. And I believe that what was being fulfilled in the Feast of Tabernacles was a transferal of the priestly responsibilities. Because, see, in the Old Testament, before, a lot of people don't know this, but in the Old Testament, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt and they were in the wilderness, and Moses went up into the mountain to get the Ten Commandments and everything, do you know originally the Levites were not the priest, were not of the priesthood? You know who was the priesthood? Everybody. It was called the priesthood of the believers. God wanted everybody to have a priestly relationship with him. And it would be represented by the firstborn of each family. The firstborn of each family would represent the family as the priest doing the priestly function. So the first call to the priesthood was essentially the firstborn, all right? The firstborn that in Egypt, God sent an angel of death and they passed over the children of Israel. Remember when they had the blood on the, how many of you have been watching the Bible, the blood on the post outside and in the front of the house? And so when the death angel came to kill all the firstborn of Egypt, they passed over the Israelis. So the firstborn was passed over. I'll tell you something. This revelation about the Passover and the Passover of the firstborn is what's causing all the trouble in the world today. You know, because what happened was is there was this prophecy that somebody was going to come from Adam and Eve. So a man's going to come from Eve and crush Satan's head. And everybody understood that was going to be a firstborn blessing. And then what happened was is Satan set out to corrupt all the firstborn. He started with Cain, you know, and just in case Abel was going to be able to take his place, he got rid of Abel too by getting Cain to kill Abel. And so the firstborn was passed over when Cain was. And there became this pattern that would happen. Like, for example, when Abraham had Ishmael, he was not the firstborn that was going to crush Satan's head. Isaac was the son of promise. But the firstborn, the literal firstborn of Abraham, was passed over to the secondborn of Abraham, which was Isaac. Everybody follow this so far? And the same thing happened when Isaac had children. He had Jacob and Esau, and Esau was the firstborn, but he was passed over. Remember when Esau was born? You know, he came out first, and you know who came out second? Jacob. And you know how he came out? He was holding on to Esau's heel. You know why? Because he was claiming, there was a spiritual representative, I'm going to be the one that crushes Satan's with my heel. And he's taking it away from Esau. And so the firstborn is passed over. And there's this pattern of God passing over the firstborn. But you know what firstborn was not passed over? Jesus was the firstborn that's going to crush Satan's head. All right? And it's been restored. So what happened in the beginning is every believer was supposed to be of the priesthood, but there was a firstborn that was going to be a representation of that in Israel. Why? Because the angel of death passed over the firstborn and didn't destroy him. Everybody got, you staying with me on this? Okay. All right, now, listen to this, all right? So Moses comes down. By the way, well, we'll look at it in just a minute. Moses comes down from the mountain, and he sees what has happened. Aaron has made this golden calf, you know, to be worshipped, something they did back in Egypt. And Moses gets really upset. And he just explodes. And so what does he say? Who's on the Lord's side? All right? And you know what is really amazing? Who do you think would be the first ones to go across that line? You know, who's on the Lord's side? Come with me. Who would be the first ones that would take off? Who would be? Come on. Wouldn't you think it'd be the firstborn? Because God had passed over them and had saved their lives? It was not. It was the Levites. And so that's when God says, it's not going to be the firstborn. The priesthood of the believer isn't going to be so anymore. It's going to be the Levites that are going to be the priest. You see? And the Levitical order began the priesthood of the believers. You know, why do you think that they didn't? You know, I don't know why the firstborn didn't go running across, but they didn't. I think I know why, though. I think they didn't want to be the priest. You know, I didn't think they thought that was very, you know, Moses comes down. Everybody's going to be a priest unto God, and the firstborn's going to represent the family. Oh, man. I don't know if they, I kind of think that maybe even today we don't want that job. Hello? Because, see, that's exactly what Jesus is restoring to us. And that's what's happening on that day, because the priesthood is being taken away from the priest and the scribes and the Pharisees and given unto the people when the people say, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. So you see, that Feast of Tabernacles is being fulfilled by the priesthood of the believers. 1 Peter 2:9. You got that ready, by the way? If you can stick it up there real quick. 1 Peter 2:9. Oh, that isn't it, is it? That's 19. Close. Okay. You are a chosen generation. By the way, this is a quote from the Old Testament before the Levitical law. This is God talking to the children of Israel. But you know what? Interesting thing, the firstborn, because they didn't come across, was passed over again. All right? It's not passed over with Jesus. It's restored to us. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Doesn't mean we're strange, even though that's true, but, you know, we're kind of strange. At least I am. I don't know about you, you know. I wrote a poem one time that says, I think everybody else is crazy because if they're not, I am. But anyway, the peculiar people means a people of his own. Choice, he chose them, people of his own. That you should what? Show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What's the primary responsibility of the priesthood? To show forth the praises of God. What were they doing when they were getting the priesthood back? They were showing, Hosanna, Hosanna. They were praising and worshiping God. And he says, shut them up, or you got to stop them. Shut them up. And he says, if I shut them up, the rocks would cry out. And we're the rocks. We're the stones that should be crying out. But it says, that's the priesthood has been restored. That's what I think of the tabernacle. Remember that in Psalm 8 where it says, out of the mouths of babes and suckling, and then it says later on, everything's under the feet, you know? But see, this is what I think is happening. The restoration of the priesthood of the believer is we're going to be the donkey that brings Jesus into Jerusalem one more time. We're going to bring him back by fulfilling our priesthood responsibilities. Hello? Now, I know some of you, this is like, whoa, what in the world this guy's talking about? But you know what? I love talking about this so much. I'll sit down with you and really give it to you if you want to get it sometime. Otherwise, I'm sorry if you didn't get it, because this is really good stuff. All right? And they raised these, they're called lullabs. They're also called hosannas. And they waved them, and they waved them and said, and praise and worship God. And because the priesthood of the believer is restored. That's what I think the tabernacle of. And I think that it is being restored. And it was, when it's fulfilled, bingo. Amen.